Welcome to the fifth day, 7 day journey of self. Today our topic will be the material nature, prakriti, and kal or time. But before we begin, as we do every day, I would like to discuss or answer some of the questions regarding yesterday's discussion. So there were some questions left over yesterday, so I will quickly try to go through them, and then if you have any brief questions still, then we will discuss them. When we pray to God and ask for forgiveness, does it mean that He does not forgive and He crushes us in His chakki even if we beg for forgiveness sincerely after committing, that we will not commit the sin again? Repentance must be genuine and it must be enduring, which means it is not that we repent only for the moment and next moment we start doing what we said we would not do again. That kind of repentance will not do. Prayer is a very powerful tool for our purification and upliftment. So if we sincerely pray to the Lord to forgive us for the mistakes that we have done, He is all merciful by nature. Surely He will forgive. By the very fire of the intensity of our prayer, our sins will be destroyed. So therefore, prayer is very important. But at the same time, what karma has been done by us must come back to us. However, as we discussed yesterday, if we were destined to get our hand cut, now we will have only a small cut on the finger. So if we are really praying so fervently to the Lord, it means that we have become devotees. And as I mentioned yesterday, for a devotee, what happens when the chakki moves, when the grinder moves? When you start moving the grinder, there are some things that immediately come to the top of the chakki. So they eventually get saved from being crushed. So some little bit initial crushing is there. So therefore, if we really fervently pray to the Lord and become His devotees, then certainly we will be relieved of much trouble. We saw the picture of a human killing a cow. As you said, the cow gets a life of a human being in the next birth, and the man gets a life of an animal who will be killed by that human being. Is that human not committing a sin? Yes. You see, the idea is that God brings together someone who wants to commit such a sin with someone who is destined to be at the receiving end of such a crime. He brings the two together, and that is how the act is committed. When we sit and pray to God, He will stand and listen. If we stand and pray to God, He will sit and listen. If we dance and pray to God, He will sleep and listen. Is this true? And this is not any, if we just pray intensely enough and sincerely enough, then God will heed our prayers. Whether God is sitting or standing or sleeping, it is the same for God. When we are sleeping, we are forgetful. We are in ignorance. But because God is completely spiritual, so when He sleeps, it is not like our sleep. So He is in yoga nidra, completely conscious. So it doesn't matter whether God is sitting, sleeping. Important thing is we should pray very fervently. Why does the karma of present life, that is good or bad, be forfeited in the present life itself? I don't know the meaning of this. What does it mean? Why does the karma of the present life have to be suffered in this life? Is that the question? Karma of the present life can be suffered not only in this life but also in future lives. As I explained in detail yesterday, it can come any time. Sometimes advanced devotees suffer much. What about them? Yes, the Pandavas suffered, Yudhishthira Maharaj suffered, Prahlad suffered, but they didn't suffer. Externally it was suffering, but internally they were experiencing the ecstasy of spiritual consciousness, of bhakti. So God puts His devotees into such difficulties because He wants to show to us how we should be in times of suffering. So that suffering is not the suffering of the chakki or the grinder. That is God's loving caress. So therefore, devotee suffering is not really suffering. It is God's mercy to remove whatever traces of impurities there may be, to bring him or her quickly back to Him again. If God wants us to come back to His kingdom as soon as possible, then why is it that all our sins are not experienced in a single janma? Why is there a remnant of sanchit karma? The answer is because we do not want to go back. God wants us back, but we don't want to go back. So therefore we have to stay here life after life. So we become strongly determined that I want to go back to the kingdom of God. Then definitely God will condense so many janmas or lifetimes of karma in one karma and finish it off in one time. You remember the story of the two friends, one going to the sadhu and the other going to the liquor bar. So the person who went to the sadhu and followed the spiritual path, he experienced much suffering because God became very kind to him. So he thought, let me condense lifetimes of suffering in one suffering and finish it off so that he can come back to me very soon. What kind of karma, sin, is lying? What would be the punishment for this kind of sin? Lying is also a sin, depends on what kind of lie and when it is spoken and for what purpose and under whose authorization. But law is not so simple. So in any case, but generally the sin of lying means, like Yudhishthira Maharaj had to have a darshan of hell. He just saw for one brief moment hell because he spoke a lie, and we speak lies practically every day. So therefore one has to surrender to God and then all these bad habits will go away. We conclude that being in Krishna consciousness, we will be out of this karma cycle. But sometimes, though knowing this absolute truth, we go out of this consciousness. So is it possible in Kali Yuga to be in full consciousness, Krishna consciousness? This we will answer on the final day. But certainly it is possible. When we talk of practical application of Bhagavad Gita, we will do that. King Aurangzeb used to do a lot of atrocities, sins. He also used to do a lot of japa. Then was his bad karma being burnt? Well, we cannot speak for individuals and specific cases. But certainly Aurangzeb was responsible for the temples of Lord Krishna Vrindavan and for many of those atrocities against temples and devotees. Therefore such atrocities can never be forgiven, and they cannot be counteracted by some ritualistic religious activity. So what is his destiny or fate is between him and Krishna. Hari Kare. Why is it Krishna made him extinct like the dinosaurs? He has made nobody extinct. Everybody is there. But some are in this planet, some are in that planet. Some are reducing in population, some are increasing in population. It does not matter. I am doing general practice. I help the patients to alleviate their pain and agony. And if at all the patients are suffering because of their past or present karma, will I be punished for alleviating their pain because I am an obstruction to the law of God? You see, if you are a doctor, you should not believe that you are the cause of relieving the pain of somebody. His pain will be relieved only when his karma says so. Not because of the medicine, not because of the doctor. So if he is destined to get cured by the medicine, he will get cured. Otherwise, any number of doctors may give any number of medicines and he will not get cured. And many times, even with a deadly disease, somebody can get cured automatically without explanation. So it is not the doctor who is the cure, not the medicine that is the cure. But at the same time, the doctor has his dharma to do. His swadharma as a vaidya or a doctor has to be performed by him. Just like Arjuna was a kshatriya, he had to fight the battle. The doctor also has to do his duty of treating the patients. Whether the patients become alright or not is not in his hands. That is between the patient and his karma. The doctor has to do his duty. If the doctor neglects his duty, then he will suffer for that. So that if we do not treat our patients or we do not do our duty, then we will have to suffer the consequences of that. And the patient, if he is destined to become alright, will become alright either through me or through somebody else or on his own. So we are all in this world simply instruments. You are not the cause of the results of your activities. People learn from us. What is that? One line. Ma phaleshu kadachal, not entitled to the results of your activities, and do not have your profit of your activities. So therefore, as a doctor, if I am curing someone, his duty is not his duty. That is about this. As you said, eating is sin, but unknowingly if we consume while eating, is it a sin? Yes, it is also a sin. If I unknowingly touch fire, does it not burn me? That through the sin, I have to prepare. Yesterday you said people who don't wear enough clothes to cover their body will be given the body of trees. But except for human beings, all the fauna and flora is naked. How then can you be a green? This is one example, an illustration. To say that the human beings are meant to be covered and clothed. It is not a fauna and flora, always. So if we also be like that, then we will get the body like that in the head. So, that is the question as far as just be instead of the note for the soul and reincarnation. All mistake, which is an important mistake. I want to point out it is a typing error. If I am chart material energy, spiritual energy, it seems that the two are naked. Connected. Material energy, spiritual energy. When to know, please keep that in mind. Yes. Can you switch off the light, please?
Every stone has a Paramatma besides it. Grass also has a soul, and we are stepping on the grass. But the chetna of that particular soul is not so developed.
Yes.
But what is the level of the Paramatma in that grass whom we are stepping?
Then, do we have a choice? We have to step on something. Therefore, according to our culture, every cultured person, before he gets up of bed and puts his feet on the ground, he offers his respects to Mother Earth. Mother Earth, please forgive me, I am putting my feet on you. So therefore, we pray. So like that, in every small activity that we do, we are causing offenses. So it is there, but then we have no other option. However, if we are going about in a proper consciousness, seeing that everything is the energy of Lord Krishna, then we do not suffer the reaction. We are looking at it from a very Krishna conscious point of view. So we will begin today's. Yes.
What about those babies who are not taken birth, or those children who are not at a maturity enough, die before attain maturity? Is it true that God takes them to His spiritual?
No. It is not only children prematurely die that are a Christian, and it's both of the realms to understand, or the opportunity, specifically to thank God. So he has dealt by his karma. In the previous life, or some previous life, there is some sin that he has committed, because of which it is number of years in this life. That means for our life, we are born, we have a certain number to breathe. That is destined. So that means the time that we are going to live in this body, somebody it may be 10 or 10 years, somebody 100 years. That depends upon karma. So according to karma, if 2 years, it would be a child. But it makes no material difference. Sometimes there are so many children who are abortion. They are slaughtered in the womb. What a horrible murder that is. That is terrible sin. That is. What are the karma? Themselves, what? They have killed some child in the womb. They have to suffer by coming in somebody's womb and being slaughtered themselves. Or they have committed some little crime or killing, because of which they also have to be killed in that fashion. So it's a baby, innocent, has not even come out of the mother's womb. What sin has it committed in this life? So it is not in this life, it is in the previous life. We discussed this point yesterday when we spoke about that rabbi, the Jewish priest, his book called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? His child was also like that. Very small child, but had a deadly disease. So this happens due to past karma.
Antibiotics. They have to kill many animals. Antibiotics.
The question is that we take antibiotics and the very purpose of kill things or disease. Then is it not a sin to take so? It is not a crime. So if you are really in the consciousness that this is God's body, everything is God's property, and I should do this in order to be able to serve God better, then Krishna says, don't worry about this. Anyway,
the priest for life, you know, very nervous. But it's breathing, jivasya jivanam, one deity to another deity. So therefore the solution is to surrender to Lord Krishna. And he takes care of whatever sins may be unaware formed or unknowingly performed. So to add with manager and pity. This is a very important subject because we are all living under the influence of these two.
Material nature is the world around us, and Kaal is time. In the Shastra we are told that the universe that we live in is egg-shaped. Therefore it is called Brahmanda, under, Brahma under. And within this universe there are 14 levels of planetary systems, of which the earthly planetary system is the middle level planetary system. There are levels below that and levels above this. In the Bhagavad Gita, we don't find much detailed description of the structure of the universe. But we find that in other scriptures, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, the earth. But in any case, suffice it to know that these 14 levels of planetary systems have different kinds of environments in which living entities can live and have different kinds of bodies. Just like a fish is in the water, have a kind of body, the bird has a kind of body. And we have a different kind of body to live on hand. Similarly, in all the planets in the earth, every life, there are living entities. And they have the appropriate sphere in difference. The scientists think that there is no life on the moon, but there is life on the moon. Prabhupada said, it is doubtful whether we have the moon at all. Because it requires punya to go to the moon is considered a heavenly planet. You cannot go to the planet by mechanical devices, by spaceships, rockets, and only pious acts, not by other means. Therefore, they have seen Surya, have brought back simply a few rocks. We have one drama that the devotees often perform, in which there is a boatman who is, and a scholar comes and is taunting him. And one of the arguments that this boatman asks or gives to the scholar, when the scholar asks him whether he knows that man has gone to the moon, and the boatman says, "No, I don't know that they have gone to the moon." "Yes, they have gone to the moon, but brought back a rock." And the boat asks, "Is it a rock? They have moon, brought back a rock." Therefore, like then, we don't have the eye to read the bodies, because the eye planets, the bodies are very subtle. Here the body is not right. But in the higher planets, they are made of fire, air, and ether. And then, below these 14 levels of planetary systems, there are hellish planets, hell, where living entities are sent to undergo severe punishment for great sins. For instance, is just like one grain. Here you see a bag of rice, and our universe is like one grain of rice in this whole bag of rice. Means there are millions and millions of universes in this whole material creation. Even our one universe is so huge that our scientists are unable to understand, and they are unable to understand ever. And this is only one universe. Our universe is considered a very ordinary universe. There are many other universes which are much, much bigger than our universe. And there are billions of universes. And in this one universe, our Earth is so tiny. And even on this Earth, we are so tiny. But still, we become proud. Still, we think, of ourselves as somebody special. If we simply reflect on the enormity or the large size of the universe, immediately we will become humble and then really it's an insignificant speck in this whole creation. I am even less than insignificant. So therefore, our universe is just one among billions and billions. The reality of all the universe is called the earth, the material creation. So there are many, many brahmandas, many universes, and all are egg-shaped. And all are floating in a particular ocean, just like the bubbles float in the ocean. And within each universe, we have seen this slide earlier, there is Brahma on the left side, Vishnu in the middle, or Shiva on the right. In each universe, there is somebody who acts of creation, sustenance, and destruction. This is for each universe. So, the billions and billions of universe, how many Brahma are there? How Shiva are there? How many Vishnus are there? Innumerable. We cannot count. So, there is not only one Brahma. And our Brahma, who is the head of our universe, has four heads. Of course, we cannot understand how he got his four necks. We have problems with one, but he might four heads comfortably. And in other universes, there are Brahmas which takes 100 heads, 1000 heads, 1000000 heads, and all work to be common. Because these are situations of high density. So for these are phenomena of high density in the material world. So the material world consisting of all these universes is so complex. And it is simply foolish to imagine, it is childish to imagine that we can understand this whole material creation or even any portion of it simply by our senses, by pratyaksha praman and anuman praman. It is simply childish to think like that. And when one actually studies the scriptures, then one really begins to understand how this is so true. Here you see all the brahmandas, the universes coming out, and this form of the Lord whom you see lying here in Yoga Nidra is called Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is an expansion of Lord Krishna. On the top of the picture you see Lord Krishna, and that cloud there represents the spiritual world. Of course it is very large. It is only pictorially represented here for the sake of our convenience. But Lord Krishna expands himself to form the entire spiritual world, and in the material world with all its universes he expands with Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu lies down on the corners outside of the spiritual world, and from the pores of his skin the universes emanate. One universe from each pore of his skin. So just imagine how big is Mahavishnu. Our one universe is so big we cannot calculate. And there are billions of such universes. And each universe is the size of the pore in the skin of Mahavishnu. So how big must he be? These are things beyond our imagination. And as Mahavishnu breathes out, then all the universe enters in and move outwards. They float in the ocean called the causal ocean. And then they live there just like some bossy. So all these universes are there, these eggs, floating in this kind of sagar, the causal ocean. And they are there, excellent breath, Mahavishnu. Then they live there for some time, right? In the course of the universe, it is in it, this whole world of Mahavishnu. Then Mahavishnu, and all the universes are pulled back into his divine body. And then again everything is quiet for a long time. Again Mahavishnu breathes out, his second breath. For him it is a normal breath, just like for us, our normal breath. So for Mahavishnu, it is his normal breathing. He doesn't hold his breath like the yogis. He is breathing in and out normally. And each breath, the universe creates things, and when he inhales, they are all destroyed. Again he breathes out, and this cycle is continuing. Can you imagine the whole situation? No, you cannot imagine. But nevertheless, we have to try within our limited mind to try. Mahavishnu creates billions and billions of form universes. And this is the totality of the material creation. It's so huge. Mahavishnu does not have to exert himself. So the material energy ultimately comes from God. So matter also comes from spirit. Spirit does not come from matter. And these are all expanding, going outwards. Modern science says that creation of the universe has taken place by a big bang. This is called the Big Bang Theory. But have you ever heard of any bang that produces such nice and beautiful variety and harmony? What do you see on the day after Diwali on the streets? Don't you see scraps of paper lying here and there? So do explosions create any harmony or order? They only create disorder. So how is it that by a big bang all the harmony and order is created? That's completely deceived by the power of our Shakti. Therefore, things are going outwards, but it's like a big bang. The whole is in perfect control by Mahavishnu, who is simply an expansion of the expansion of the expansion of Shakti. And then, in each universe, Vishnu is as the Vishnu of, and here he is called Garshai Vishnu. Mashiv, the TV is like him. This egg is half filter, which is called Bodhaka. It is not the relation of Lord Vishnu, of the Kavutaka. First, everything about God is full. Even perspiration is true. It is not our relation. And then half the universe, and in portion, there is Anantashesh, and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu reclines on that. And with Vishnu there is Lakshmi. Lakshmi Narayan. They are always here. And Lakshmi will be Sarvanayan in his form as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Now this situation is going on in each and every universe. There are billions and trillions of universes, and in each of the universes there is Garbhodakshaya, and that is under shape and Shai Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. That is who rises and climbs in the ocean called the Garbhodakshaya. Now from his name, remember, it is happening every universe separately, so that one expands to any Garbhodakshaya Vishnu as the universes. And then this lotus on his navel, you can see that there. And who is there on top of the navel or the lotus? There is Brahmaji. You can see that lotus? And the lotus, yes, and somewhat.
his lair, Brahmaji on top of that lotus, sitting there. Brahmaji was born on top of that lotus. So he is called Swayambhu, because he does not have any material part on the child born on the south. No? Brahma, even though he is founding the created universe again, but when he is born, he is perplexed, he is bewildered, he does not know what to do. How this whole creation plays? Then he says, tapa, tapa, perform penance. And after a long time of performing penance here, he seeks all the prophets. He must understand where these waves are coming from, who is the witness, who he, what is the Sima. He is able to understand any of these things. And then he hears the voice from within. And that is clarity 300 in years. Hours. Now finally, what is revealed to him by the Lord? Here is our four-faced Brahma. And he is hearing the sound of Lord Krishna's flute from the spiritual world. It enters into his ears as the comes of his mouth as the Gayatri Mantra and the Vedas. The Brahma gets the knowledge. He is here. He is reached by God himself. So in this way, the first issue of the universe, the first Brahman in the whole creation. And who is his guru? Directly God himself. And after that, Brahma, from his mind and body, creates everything of this world, of the universe. He creates all the beings, creates the cognizer, he resorts, he creates the alphabets, he creates even the stages, and he has to create the different species of life. He has to create all the different species of life. So here, his work is like that of a gardener. Lord Krishna has given him the seeds that represent all the jivas. And he has to find appropriate bodies for them according to their karma of the previous creation. And he has to find appropriate planets for them. He has to make all the planets in this world. Just like when a new city is being designed, the chief engineer, he has to first of all make the drawings. Where will be the gardens, where will be the hospital, where will be the apartments. And then he has to see what will be the population. There are some multi-story buildings, some small buildings. So he has to make accommodation for all people, rich people, poor people. So in this way, Brahma is like the chief engineer. And the knowledge to design the creation is given by the Lord from within. And then he continues. So Brahma is the secondary creator. And alongside Brahma, there is also another form of Vishnu. We have seen Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is riding Sagar. And from that Vishnu comes another Vishnu in every universe, the third level of Vishnu, who is called Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. He resides on the ocean of milk. You have heard this Kshir Sagar many times. And all the demigods, whenever they are in trouble, whenever they have been harassed by some great demon or Rakshasa like Ravan or Hiranyakashipu, all the demigods headed by Brahma always go to the shore of the milk ocean and they pray to this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, who is also sitting on Anantashesh and is accompanied by Lakshmi Devi. So Vishnu's third expansion, the third form, and it is through this Vishnu that the Lord from the spiritual world incarnates into the material world as avatar. And it is the same Kshirodakshaya Vishnu again expresses as the Paramatma, and he enters into the heart of every being, and he also enters into every atom. He moves electrons and protons in every atom. He controls the workings of the body within all of us, and he also controls the universe. In this way, Lord and in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that just by my fragmental expansion, I then sustain all these innumerable universes. So the reason to give you this information is to just make us aware of how vast and how wonderful and unimaginably complicated is God here. So how wonderful must be this Lord Krishna, who is making all this possible. And millions of trillions of things
and Paramatma, millions of forms. And finally, when the time for each universe to be destroyed arrives, then Lord Shiva expands as all the Rudras, the 11 Rudras, and he destroys the whole universe. Pandavatya. Then the universe is destroyed. Mahashri in. Remember that in each universe is happening. All of us are getting destroyed. In each there is Shiva and all the Rudras doing the work of destruction. And then it all comes in by the inhaling of Mahavishnu. And it is what Mahavishnu rests there. Everything is quiet. And again after some time when Mahavishnu breathes out, this whole cycle repeats. In other words, this entire material creation is created and destroyed. Again, so this cycle is going on eternally. It has always been gone. And it will continue to go on eternally. You see, just see here, what is made out of mud by somebody, by an animal being, even if what is made, material of which it is made, which is source. The mud remains. The pot is temporary. It is a temporary form. Therefore, the mud is lasting, it is enduring, but the pot, when it is destroyed, goes back to the mud. Again, the potter makes another pot from mud. So, in the same way, and the Lord, the Kriti, the material universe is like the pot, because it is from the material energy. God has made the pot of material as God. Because we know from common sense that the mud cannot automatically pop. Material energy inert. But when it's pre-engine, then it can be made into universe. And therefore, the Lord from his material energy is making differences. This is the cup who has made millions of pots from the mud. And after the pots have been destroyed, they go back to the mud. Mud remains. After that, the potter again has filled in the pot. So the material energy out of which this universe is created is like a spider web. Wonderful web, more intricately, and the flies, etc., and germs, they get caught in that web. Similarly, the Lord has expertly made this whole material energy that part of it. It is the power of the material called nasty, matya, that which is not. That is untrue. Under the influence of this maya shakti, we ought ourselves to be that we are not. But I am not this body. I am the atma. I have nothing to do with it. I think I am engineer. I am rich. I am poor. I am cat. I am male. All the influence of Maya. Actually, I am none of these things. I am simply eternal spirit, a spiritual spirit, eternally part of the Supreme Viksha. And come up with the power of illusory energy to stand. Remember, on the fifth day, the Bhagavata, the five chairs, Jiva, spirit soul, the Kriti, material nature, all time, and that is everything. Now, of these, the first four are eternal. God is eternal, the soul is eternal. That we have seen. Prakriti, Lord is not eternal. Just like the mud is always there, the pot is temporary. Like that, the energy of Prakriti is still existing. Molded by the three gunas, there is nothing in the creation that is free from the influence of these three gunas. Sattva-gun, Rajo-gun and Tamo-gun. Consider here a red flower. Red in color. Consider a yellow flower. Yellow color. Consider here a blue flower at the back. The petals are bluish. Red, yellow and blue. They are the three primary colors in creation. But simply from these three primary colors, all the colors come up. What happens when you mix yellow and blue, green. What happens when you mix red and yellow, orange? And what happens when you mix red and blue? You get purple. And in this way, by mixing and intermixing more and more, all the varieties of colors of the rainbow are created. Only from three colors, red, yellow, blue, which are the primary colors. So we find here in the rainbow, all the colors are there. In this creation also, all the colors are existing simply by combination of these three colors. Exactly in the same way, the first three basic qualities of nature are Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. Sattvagun combines with Rajagun, Rajagun combines with Tamagun, Sattvagun combines with Tamagun, different combinations. When these combine, again combine, recombine, recombine, and it becomes a very complicated thing and produces an infinite variety of the gunas here. So everything we see in this world is simply under the power of these three gunas. Can you focus, please? Here we are giving some example of what are the things that come under the three gunas. Animals can be under the three gunas. So monkey is an example of an animal in tamoguna, or the mode of ignorance. A lion is an example of an animal in rajoguna, the mode of passion. The cow is an example of an animal in the mode of goodness. These are general classifications. Now, even amongst animals, there are classifications, but the animals as a group are considered in the mode of ignorance relative to the human beings, who are considered in the mode of passion or rajagun, and the devatas or the demigods, who are considered in the mode of goodness. So we can see that all these divisions are there depending on how the three modes actually influence them. Here is somebody who is apparently in an animal species, but he is neither in tamogun, nor in rajogun, nor in sattogun. He is purely on the spiritual platform because he is a devotee of the Lord, and the devotee is situated on the pure spiritual platform, beyond the material energy. Who is this? Hanumanji. Hanumanji is a pure devotee, the great devotee of Lord Ram. So although he appeared in an animal species, we should not think that he is like an ordinary animal, because he is on this transcendental platform. So he doesn't fall under any of these three gunas. Similarly, Garuda. Garuda is also a bird in the animal or bird species, but he is also neither in Rajagun, nor Tamagun, nor Sattvagun. He is on the transcendental or the spiritual platform, because he is the personal carrier of Lord Vishnu. And here is the example of some places in the three modes. Here you see a bar. This person is distributing some liquor. So this is in the mode of ignorance. The city is in the mode of passion, Rajogun. And the forest is in the mode of goodness. The slide is not here. And the temple is neither in goodness, passion, or ignorance. It is on the spiritual platform, because here the Lord is being worshipped and served. So it is as good as the spiritual world within the material world. So even places can be in Sattvagun, Rajagun, or Tamagun. Then there are people who are under the three gunas. Here you see an example of Ravan being killed. Ravan is a Rakshasa. Rakshas means one who is in Tamagun, in the mode of ignorance. In modern day life, here is an example of a person in tamogun, the mode of ignorance. He is taking some drugs. So taking intoxication is a sign of the mode of ignorance, tamoguna. A person in mode of passion is one who is always longing for wealth, longing for material pleasures and enjoyment. And a person in the mode of goodness is one who is satisfied by being peaceful, content. He doesn't have any intense hankerings and longings. He is peacefully satisfied in and of himself. So this is the classification as regards different kinds of people. However, the devotee of Lord Krishna, he is neither in mode of passion, nor goodness, nor in ignorance. He is situated on the spiritual platform, as we saw in the case of Hanuman and Garuda. So therefore, a devotee is in a category by himself or herself. Then again, there is a category of food. Food can also be in the three modes. Dress can be in the three modes. Somebody who is in sattva guna, he wears very nice, simple, clean dress. Can be in the mode of ignorance, passion or goodness. A person who is in the mode of goodness dresses very simply, he wears clean clothes and is satisfied with that. A person in the mode of passion wants to dress very fashionably, wants to dress in order to attract others' attention. Whereas a person in tamoguna, his dress is very unclean, dirty and so on. Whereas transcendental dress means dress of the devotee of Lord Hari or Krishna. Similarly with food. Food can be also in these different modes. Here is an example of food that is in the mode of ignorance. All meat, etc. is in this mode. Foods that are very spicy, very hot, pungent are examples of food in the mode of passion. And here we find example of prasad, which is transcendental. Fruits and vegetables are in the mode of goodness, but prasadam, which is offered to the Lord, is transcendental. It is neither in the mode of goodness or passion or ignorance. It is spiritual food. So none of the three modes of nature, sattvagun, rajagun or tamagun, exist purely in this material world. They are always mixed together in varying proportions. So nobody is purely sattvic, nobody is purely tamasic. There is always some mixture. And we are all here being controlled by the three modes. You can see the three ladies in the middle. Who are these three ladies? Miss Sattvagun, Miss Rajagun and Miss Tamogun. And they are always eager to control these poor souls here who are working very hard, toiling day and night for what they think is happiness in life. They think they are happy, but actually they don't realize that they are simply puppets in the hands of these three ladies. But these three ladies are devoted assistants and servants of who? Of Lord Krishna on top. Lord Krishna explains, Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sa characharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This whole material creation is going on under my direction, under my supervision. And those foolish living entities who do not have spiritual knowledge, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they think that they are doing everything. Whereas actually it is prakriti or the three gunas who are doing everything. The living entities are simply puppets in the hands of the sattvagun, rajagun or tamagun. Prakritih kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahamkar vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Lord Krishna says that those who are ignorant of spiritual knowledge think karta aham iti manyate. So they think I am the doer. But the doer is actually the three modes. Prakriti kriyamanani, gunahi karmani. So the gunas are actually the doers. They are manipulating the strings and we are just dancing according to their dictates and we think that we are free. So this idea of being a free human being is an illusion because we are all simply puppets. A person who is controlled by tamagun, there is a string that pulls him to the liquor bar. Invisible string. So Miss Tamagun is pulling that string and he is getting pulled into the liquor bar even beyond his control. He knows it is not good for him but he goes. Similarly, Miss Rajagun, she is pulling the string and somebody is working very hard. I want more money, more money, more money. I am working 18 hours but now I will work 20 hours. In 2 hours more, I can make more money. So she is pulling the string and he is simply the puppet in her hands. And then there is Satrugun. Miss Satrugun is controlling somebody. He is nice, happy, satisfied. He writes poetry in his spare time. He doesn't disturb anybody. He is nice, peaceful. He is not very greedy. He is comfortable with his own simple home. But he is also a puppet in the hands of Miss Satrugun. Nobody can remain in Satrugun for long. Sooner or later, the way of this world is that if Miss Satrugun is controlling somebody, sooner or later, Miss Rajagun and Miss Tamagun start thinking, why is she alone controlling this man? I also want to control. So then they will also start pulling strings. And gradually the living entities come under the control of all these three gunas. Sattvagun, Rajagun and Tamagun. So much for our freedom in this world. At the same time, real freedom means that we should come out of the control or the clutches of these three ladies. Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. Then we shall be truly free. Liberation means that we get free from the influence of the three gunas. Krishna is always beyond the three gunas. Tribhir gunamayir bhavir evhi sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabhijanati mam ibhya param avyayam. Lord Krishna says in the Gita that I am forever beyond the three gunas. I am transcendental. The three gunas are actually under my control. But ignorant people think that I am also under the control of the three modes. But why do they think like that? They think like that because they themselves are under the control of my modes and therefore they think that I am under the control of the modes. But I am forever spiritual, forever transcendental. So, only one who is free from bondage can free us from bondage. If I am bound hand and foot and you are also bound hand and foot, can you free me or can I free you? No. A drowning person cannot save another drowning person. So therefore, if we want to get really free, we have to approach Lord Krishna because he is beyond the three modes of material nature. Actually speaking, these three modes are the cause of our bondage in this material world. We have described earlier that this material world is a prison. But what kind of prison is this? It doesn't have any walls. Have you ever seen any prison without walls? And still the prisoners are not able to escape. What a wonderful prison. So what is it that is binding the prisoners? The prisoners are being bound with three kinds of ropes. The first rope is a rope of gold. That is for some people who are under the control of Sattvaguna. So Sattvaguna is like a rope of pure gold. The second rope is a rope made of silver. It is for those who are in Rajaguna. So they have been bound by this rope. And the third is a rope of iron. So that is for those who are in Tamoguna. So whether we are in Tamoguna, Rajaguna or Sattvaguna, we are being bound by a golden rope, silver rope, iron rope, or maybe a combination of these ropes. But ultimately, we are all bound. We are all prisoners. Can a person bound with a golden rope say, I am better than you because you have a iron rope and I have a golden rope? You are all bound. So it doesn't matter. Therefore, we should learn to cut these ropes of gold, silver and iron and become completely free from this material world. And eventually, then we will go back to the spiritual world to enjoy unlimitedly with the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So this is as far as the Prakriti and the three modes of material nature are concerned. So now we will take a short break for refreshments. We may be released from the bondage of this lecture for a few moments and become free with herbal tea, but do return to your bondage, because this bondage will make you truly free and help you to go back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. We have been discussing Prakriti, the material nature, material energy. But along with Prakriti, there is another energy of the Lord, and that is Kal, time. The time factor is also an energy of God. And because God is permanent, He is eternal, so this time energy is also eternal. Time acts in this world in so many ways. It creates various transformations. We are born, then we grow, then we mature, we produce byproducts, then we decay, and then we die. This is all because of the influence of time. All people here in this world, all living beings, are carrying out activities under the supervision of the Lord and sanction of the Lord within the three modes of nature and under the control of time. So time is the most important factor that makes everything work in this material world. Time is a factor for destruction. Time acts in this world to destroy everything. So therefore time is called the destroyer. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Kalosmi, I am time, and I have come here to destroy all living beings. Those people who deny the existence of God eventually have to come to terms and come to face to face with God in His form of time. Because as time, He comes to devour them. He eats up everybody in the form of death. Mrityu sarvaharascham. I am death personified. And as time, I will come and swallow all the living beings in this creation. So this time is an energy of the Lord. And therefore we must use it very nicely. Just like this material nature is an energy of God, the soul is an energy of God, so both must be used in Lord Krishna's service because it belong to Him. Similarly, time is also His energy. Therefore, time must also be used in His service. So, we should not waste time. We should not waste time for unnecessary material pursuits. Rather, we should spend the maximum amount of time possible for our spiritual upliftment. Here, I am going to give you some figures and statistics. Please do not become afraid. Very simple numbers. They may appear very complicated, but I am giving you these figures just to give an understanding of what is the scale of time by which Lord Krishna has made this universe. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is description of atomic time also, which even our nuclear scientists cannot understand. So much detailed information of time at that level. And here, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has spoken of time at the cosmic level. We all know that we are presently in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is last of the four ages, and it is 4.32 lakhs years, that is 432,000 years. Presently we have only passed 5,000 years. So 4,27,000 years are still to go for Kali Yuga to end. Before Kali Yuga was Dwapar Yuga, which is twice Kali Yuga. That means 8.64 lakh years. Before that, Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga is three times Kali Yuga, 12.96 years. Then before that, Satya Yuga. That was four times Kali Yuga. That means 17.28 lakh years. And all the four yugas together is called one Chatur Yuga or one Divya Yuga, which is 43 lakh years. Each age, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali, has its own characteristics, its own unique features under the control of Kal or time. For example, in Kali Yuga, have a particular characteristic. Prayanal Payusha Sabhya Kalo Asmi Yugejana Manna Sumandamatayo Mand Bhagyahi Upatrutah. In the Srimad Bhagavat, it is explained that in Kali Yuga, every living being has a short life. In Satya Yuga, the lifespan was very, very large. People on an average lived for 1 lakh years. And in Treta Yuga, the average lifetime became 10,000 years. In Dwapar Yuga, it became 1,000 years. In the beginning of Kali, it was 100 years. And now, only after 5,000 years of Kali have elapsed, the average age must not be more than 60 years. On maximum 70. How many people live to 100? And this is only after 5,000 years have gone into Kali. So imagine what will happen as Kali Yuga progresses. Then, at the end of Kali Yuga, a person who is 30 years old will be considered a grand old man. Just as now, if somebody is 100 years, we consider as very, very exceptional. But in Dwapar Yuga, that was not exceptional. When Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, both Krishna and Arjuna were approximately 125 years old. But Arjuna did not look like an old man. So everything changes according to the time. So this is one Chatur Yuga. And this Chatur Yuga keeps on repeating. After Kali Yuga is over, again Satya Yuga will start, then Treta, Dwapar, Kali, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. This link will go on and on and on. And when this Chatur Yuga repeats 1,000 times, that is one day of Brahma. And the same time is one night of Brahma. So therefore 12 hours of Brahma is equal to 1,000 Chatur Yugas. Therefore 24 hours of Brahma, that is one full day, is 2,000 into 43 lakh years, which is 864 crore years. This is one full day of Brahma. This is relativity of time. Modern science has found it only 100 years ago. But our Shastras have been saying for millions of years. So for Brahma, his one day is one day only. He doesn't think it is 864 crore years. It is just that his one year is equal to 864 crore years for us. Just like there are many moths and insects which live only for a few minutes or a few hours at night. So for them, they are living the span of their whole life. They don't think that we are living only for 1 hour. They think I am living my 100 years. In their society, if somebody is living 2 hours, very old man. If somebody is living 30 minutes, he died young. But But from their point of view, they must be thinking that we are like Brahma. Because our life is 70 years, they cannot even imagine what is 70 years. Because they are only accustomed to 1 hour, 2 hours, which is a full life for them. So similarly for Brahma, his life is normal. For him it is only 1 year, like it is 1 year for us. But at the same time, 864 crore years go by. I will tell you a small story. Once upon a time there was a king called King Kakudmi, and he had a daughter who was called Revati. Now the time came for Revati's marriage. So King Kakudmi was very keen to find a very suitable husband for her. So he was looking here and there and could not find anyone appropriate. So he decided to go and take the blessings of Brahmaji in Brahmaloka. In those days, in the previous ages, like Satya Treta, interplanetary travel was easily possible for even people of Earth. But nowadays it is not possible. So anyway, Raja Kakudmi went to Brahmaloka. As it happened, Brahmaji was listening to a music concert. So therefore he was a little busy. And he became only a few minutes late to see King Kakudmi. And then King Kakudmi presented his proposal that please give me your blessings so that my daughter may find a very nice husband. So Brahmaji laughed very loudly. So Raja Kakudmi asked, why are you laughing? So Brahmaji replied that your daughter has come here with you to see me, but by the time you return, already millions of yugas have gone by. Millions of chaturyugas have gone. So whoever you see, you thought of as possible candidates, are all gone and dead. They were all finished. So in any case, Raja Kakudmi came back to earth, and it was Dwapar Yuga. Raja Kakudmi had lived in Satya Yuga. So they were very tall in Satya Yuga. Then they became little shorter in Treta, little shorter in Dwapar, little shorter in Kali. Now if somebody is 6 feet tall, he is considered very tall. But in Dwapar Yuga, everyone was very tall, much more than 6 feet. In Treta, at the time of Lord Ram, everyone was even much taller. If you see the footprints of Lord Ram and Sita Devi at Chitrakoot, you will be astonished to see the size of Sita Devi's footprints. So they were very big, but for them it was normal. So when Raja Kakudmi and Revati, they came back, then Revati was much taller than any man. Much, much taller. And finally, it was a time when Lord Krishna and Balaram were in Dwarka. So then Kakudmi decided on the advice of Brahmaji that I should get my daughter married to Lord Balaram. So when the two met, then Balaramji had to look high up to see his to-be wife. And Revati was very tall, many, many feet taller than Balaram. So Balaram is called Haladhar, the holder of the hull or the plow. So he took his plow and touched it to her shoulder and pulled her down to normal height. So in any case, this is just a small story to illustrate how the time is so relative, and one full day of Brahma is 864 crores of our years. But that is not enough. What about 1 year of Brahma and 1 lifetime of Brahma? Brahma's full day is 864 crore years, as we have seen. His 1 year has 360 of his days, like we have 365. He has 360. So 864 into 360 crore years is his 1 year, and he lives for 100 of his years. So therefore 864 into 360 into 100 crore years, that is 3110400 crore years, is a lifetime of Brahma, our creator of this universe. And presently Brahmaji is 51 years old. Actually, he is in the first day of his 51st year. And presently, it must be about noon for Brahmaji. He must be contemplating what I am going to eat for lunch at this time. So So this is the lifetime of Brahma. Just imagine, in the higher planets, there are lifetimes like this. Of course, in Brahmaloka, especially Brahma, his lifetime is the highest. Then as you go down further and further, lifetimes are still very large, but lesser compared to Brahmaloka, but much more compared to Earth. Like when we come to the Swargloka, or the planets of the demigods, then 6 months for us is 1 day for them. So this is the standard for Swarga. So like that, time varies. So this is the lifetime of Brahma, which is actually the lifetime of the universe. So the duration of the universe is equal to one lifetime of Brahma. And although the lifetime of Brahma appeared so huge to us, so many figures we could not even remember or count, that is simply one breath for Mahavishnu, whom we saw in the beginning, the picture. So just imagine, what are the scales of time and space that Krishna's creation is dealing with, and how absolutely insignificant and negligible we are in this creation. So what scope is there for anyone to feel proud? And if someone is feeling proud, isn't it the most astonishing thing in the creation? That in spite of being so insignificant, we still think that we are something special. This is the miracle of material life. So therefore, one should just simply try to understand the vastness, the complexity and the beauty of Lord Krishna's creation, of his Kala Shakti and of his Prakriti. And therefore we should try to surrender to him. He is the only object of our life. He is the master of Prakriti, master of Kal, master of Karma, master of Jiva. He is the source of everything. So therefore the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita is that one must simply become his devotee. Manmana bhavamad bhakto badyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishyasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. My dear Arjuna, always remember me, become my devotee, offer your homage unto me, surrender to me, and I promise you, you will return to me without fail. In Krishna's kingdom, there is also Kal. But Kal does not have the same effect like it does here. When Kal operates in the material world, it makes a distinction between past, present and future. The arrow of time moves only in one direction, from past to present and from present to future. But in the spiritual world, time is simply existing. It is beyond our conception, beyond our understanding, how this can happen. Time is not a problem for Krishna. Space is not a problem for Krishna. If I want to go from here to Delhi, it will take me some time, even in the fastest aeroplane. Even if I travel at the speed of mind, still it will take time. But Krishna is a master of Prakriti. So therefore, he can be everywhere at the same time immediately, without even a fraction of a second's gap. Similarly, just as space or Prakriti is not a problem for him, similarly, Kal has no impediment for him. I can go today somewhere and come back tomorrow. But do you know that Krishna can go somewhere today and come back yesterday? Because yesterday, today and tomorrow are limits only for us who are under Kala Shakti. But Lord Krishna is a master of Kala Shakti. So these limits do not apply to him. And therefore they do not apply to his spiritual world, the kingdom of God. So when we go to the kingdom of God, Kal will not destroy our bodies like it does here. The effect of Kal on our bodies is that it makes us grow old, it makes us diseased and destroys our body eventually at the time of death. But because in the spiritual world, Kal is not acting in this way, therefore there is no birth there, no old age, no disease and no death. There is simply sheer bliss, Satchidananda, eternal life full of joy, full of knowledge. This is life in the spiritual world, in the spiritual energy of the Lord, free from the limitations of Kala Shakti. This is the goal of our life. But as we stand now, we must simply try to use all these energies of the Lord in the Lord's service. And that is the way to become free. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you very much. We will now have question answers. One question regarding yesterday's talk which has come. Is making good profit in business a vikarma? If yes, then what are the guidelines on which one should do business? Does making profit in business, is it cheating to make profit in business? Well, actually, of course, I am not a businessman, but Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport that business means a little something here and there has to be there. Isn't it? Who can say, a businessman will tell his customer, this costs so much, but just for you, I am giving at this price. It is not only for him. He may be saying that to other people. But to his customer, he makes him feel very special. You are the most special person. So just for you, I am giving 50%. But if he gives a 50% cost, how will his kitchen run? Therefore, he is making enough profit with 50%. So in any case, business, if one does for Krishna, for God, that is of course not a sanction or a license to violate material laws. One must try as far as possible to follow the laws of the land, of the state, the material laws. At the same time, one also understands objectively that the person who is making the law is also corrupt, the harsh reality. And according to Ramayana and the other scriptures, 1/6 of one's produce should go to the state. And the king used to give adequate protection to the Vaishyas or the businessmen, the mercantile people. And they were satisfied fully under the protection of the king. So they would happily part with their 1/6. And in this way everything went on nicely. The king's treasury was full. He could do many welfare activities for the subjects. And at the same time, the businessmen were protected because there was no corruption. So nowadays everything is so complicated. And you all know the situation much better than me, because you are all involved in there, in the outside world. So nevertheless, to run our business properly, the first and most important thing to remember is, it is not my business. It is God's business. I am simply a trustee. I am simply acting on behalf of Him, because this business or profession, everything is not mine. So I have to use it in His service. At the same time, a little care and precaution is definitely due. And as and when one goes on, one will get more and more realization of how practical to deal with the problems in business as a Krishna conscious devotee. So making profit in business is not a crime. It is authorized by our Shastra, Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam. So when one does Vanijya or trade or Krishi or Goraksha, one does for one's livelihood. So definitely, unless there is profit, how can one maintain one's livelihood? So making profit is not bad, but being greedy for excessive profit to the neglect of our spiritual life, that is bad. So if we are always going to be wanting to make more and more and more money to make profit, and we have no time for our spiritual life, then such profit is not a profit, but it is actually a loss. So therefore, we should be satisfied with what our honest endeavor brings for us in life, do our business activities diligently. At the same time, we must be very careful to keep aside time for our spiritual life. And ultimately, we should know our customers are being sent by Krishna. So I don't have to worry about my business. I should be a nice devotee, take the normal precautions and do the normal work that I'm expected to do as a businessman and not worry about the rest. Customers will come or they may not come. Whatever is on your forehead, whatever is your destiny, that many customers will come on a particular day or they will not come. So therefore, one should not be anxious about one's livelihood and maintenance. One should depend on the Lord, live an honest life and serve God. And then everything is taken care of. God is maintaining the ants and the elephants in the forest. Ants and elephants don't have to go to business. They don't have to go to office. But still Lord Krishna is maintaining them. Lord Krishna is maintaining the atheistic people, even the sinful people. So why will he not maintain his devotee if he is running his business? And that too on behalf of Lord Krishna. So therefore, making profit is not bad, but also you must remember that it is Krishna's profit. So some portion of that must go back to the owner. So if I make the profit and I keep everything for myself, then I am a thief according to the verdict of the Bhagavad Gita and the Shastras. So we must share the fruits of our labor. One name of Krishna is Govind. Why does he have affection towards the cow? Because the cow gives milk, wonderful milk, to make us very healthy, wealthy and wise. Well, at least wealthy, yeah, even wealthy, because in cow dung Lakshmi resides, no? So naturally where there is cow, there should not be poverty. So Lord Krishna is very fond of the cow. So there are Surabhis, Surabhi cows in the spiritual world, who give unlimited quantities of milk. And Krishna's original position is that he is Gopal, tender of the cows, or Govind, one who gives pleasure to the cows. To achieve the goal of spiritual life, how should one live? This we will discuss on day 7. Why does Mahavishnu need a weapon? He wears gold ornaments. Isn't it materialistic? God doesn't need anything. God doesn't need his weapons. Neither he needs his ornaments. The ornaments need him and the weapons need him. Because for God, even his paraphernalia are all living. Everything about him is spiritual. Even Sudarshan Chakra is a person. Spiritual things are individuals. You remember we saw on day 3 when we talked about spirit and matter. Spirit has individuality. Sudarshan Chakra is a person. Lord Krishna's lotus is a person. Lord Krishna's mace, gada, is a person. Everything, Lord Krishna's dhoti is a person. This is the spiritual world. It is something unimaginable for us, not accustomed to such ideas. Very difficult to accommodate in our mind all these things. But in the spiritual world, these things are there. So God doesn't need anything. But these jivatmas, these entities get a chance to serve the Lord in this way. So it is not materialistic. What makes things materialistic? Forgetfulness of God makes it materialistic. In one context you said that Krishna takes care of the sin done for a higher purpose. What does it mean? Is violence in self-defense a sin? Violence in self-defense is not a sin. When Krishna takes care of our sins done for a higher purpose, he is just acting like a master who instructs his servant to do something, and he, master, takes the responsibility for the servant's action. Exactly like that. When Krishna asks us to live in a certain way and we do it, then Krishna takes care of the rest. So in life, we should follow Krishna's instruction, do our best, and to Krishna leave the rest. Does the mind, ego and intelligence exist along with the soul in God's kingdom? Not the material soul, not the material intelligence, mind and ego, which we saw the other day. The subtle body and the gross body. The subtle body takes the soul from one body to another body, from that body to the third body and so on. But when the soul is finally liberated from the cycle of birth and death, then even this subtle body, which has carried the soul as a vehicle for so many lifetimes, even that subtle body is destroyed. And only the pure soul goes back to the spiritual world. The soul also has its own senses. It has its own eyes, ears, mind, intelligence, but they are all spiritual. Presently, it is covered by material mind, material senses, material intelligence. So in the spiritual world, there is nothing material. Only spiritual things are there. Has God made any customs like the thread ceremony as shown in the Vaman Avatar? Yes, these are called samskaras. Upanayan Sanskar is for the Dvija, twice born. So these Sanskars are meant for purification. So when we perform these Sanskars, then material desires vanish and one travels further on the path of spiritual life. Why is Vaman Dev, an incarnation of the Lord, wearing a sacred thread? He doesn't need it. Because he is living in the society of human beings on the earth. So he acts like the others. Just like Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, they came, they also got married, they also ate, they also slept. God doesn't need to eat, he doesn't need to sleep. But because they were living in the society where this was normal, so they followed the customs and traditions. Just like when Bill Clinton comes here, he will also wear kurta. So he follows the tradition of this land. So when Krishna comes to the material world or Ram comes to the material world, they also behave like other normal human beings. We saw a picture of Garuda when snakes surrounded with hands surrounded by snakes, whereas we heard that Garuda kills snakes. Please explain. But when they take shelter of the Lord, then he does not kill, because he is a devotee of the Lord. The Garuda is a Vaishnava, but because he is in that body, so he is allowed to eat meat. So we cannot do that, because we are in human body. If I have no activity in this world except to chant and please God, why am I created in the first place? That we discussed yesterday. That we exist eternally in the spiritual world, and we have come here out of a rebellious tendency to be independent of God, to enjoy independently of God. So therefore, Lord Krishna has given us forgetfulness because we have desired that forgetfulness. And now we have to revive our lost memory of God. So bhakti is simply that. Bhakti means, spiritual life means to wake up the sleeping soul. That is what we are doing. This whole process is simply a waking up process. When you are sleeping, you can be woken up either by sound or by light. If somebody makes a loud sound, you wake up. Or when it is dark, if somebody switches on the light, you wake up. So similarly, for the soul to wake up, you need sound, which is spiritual sound, the name of God, and you need light, which is spiritual knowledge, the torchlight of Bhagavad Gita. So when we get both these, then the soul can wake up to its original position. If God's or Krishna's senses, like eyes and nose, cannot be differentiated, that is, the eyes can work as the nose and vice versa, then being his parts and parcel, then that particular atom should also do the same work. But we can't do it. Why? Because this is the material body. But your spiritual body can do that. Not the material body. The material body is simply a perverted reflection of the spiritual body. So Lord Krishna can do that because he is fully spiritual. So the Satchidananda Vigraha, the soul, also has such a capacity, but in very tiny detail. How many forms or expansions are there between Lord Sri Krishna and Lord Sri Mahavishnu? There are many. But I don't want to go into the details because it will become too technical. But there are, briefly speaking, first form of Lord Krishna is Balaram. From Balaram, then comes four expansions called Vasudev, Sankarshan, from Sankarshan comes Narayan. From Narayan again comes this Chaturvyuha. From Sankarshan of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, then comes Mahavishnu. So this is all this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Attraction to Krishna is very powerful. There is obstruction to join such a movement from family members and friends. What should one do in one situation? One should pray to Lord Krishna that those who are opposing us, that their mind should also be changed. And if their mind is still not being changed, then we not stop bhakti. One should continue bhakti without trying to disturb the situation anywhere. Otherwise I will be in trouble. The family members come here and start quarreling. So, bhakti cannot be stopped. Bhakti is eternal function of the soul. So Narad Muni has answered this question in Srimad Bhagavatam. If people are going to tell you, oh, what is this nonsense you are doing, bhakti, bhakti, Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Ram, what is this? Be successful, earn money, enjoy life, do something in life and show. So what should you say? Yes, 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 yes. But do the bhakti. Every time they say, you should not chant, it is not good. Yes, yes, I will stop chanting. But you continue chanting. Some quarrel, at the same time, you do what you are supposed to do. So eventually, if you pray hard enough, maybe those who are, their hearts may change. Why God is changed? He could have done it only in one yuga. Then why all these changes in time? Because time in the material world is degradation. Everything goes down in time. Nothing goes higher. If something goes higher, then God has to change, to destroy everything. Because spiritual world is permanent and here things are temporary. If you want to be permanent, then we have to go to spiritual world. This material world is designed to be temporary. So if you come here, then you have to be under the power of Kala Shakti. In what way? Reiki, self-healing treatment, the part of God. I do not know much about Reiki, so I cannot comment much. But ultimately, I do not know whether these are really authorized processes. And they are not there in our Shastra, so I don't feel the need for such things. But nevertheless, if something is useful, we may use, but we are not attached to these things. If we use it, it is there, fine. If it is not there, fine. We are concerned with our process of spiritual life. I did not follow. It is heard that there are seven faces of one human. No, this idea is, I don't know in what context this is asked, but there are three bodies, if that is what you mean. You have the gross body, you have the subtle body, and there is a spiritual body. During rebirth, does the male take rebirth as male only? What other things along with the soul are transmigrated? Not necessary. A male can become female, female can become male. A male who is very much attached to a female, at the end of his life he will think of a female and become a female. A female who is very much attached to a male, at the time of death she thinks of a male, she will become a male. What you think of at the time of death, that is what you attain. If you think of a deer, you will become a deer. If you think of an animal, you become an animal. If you think of God, you will go back to God. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajatyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitah. Whatever your state of consciousness at the time of death, that state you will attain without fail, my dear Arjuna. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nasketra samshayah. Antakale, at the time of death, if you think of me, Mam eva smarana, if you think of me, then you will come back to me. That is my promise to you, dear Arjuna. So we should attempt to think of Lord Krishna at the time of death, but in order to do that, we have to practice throughout our life. There is a true story that a man lost in an island in some part of this world many years back, and as he was wandering, a spark of light, he saw many people rejoicing and voices, and he went near it. There was nothing but skulls. Could you please explain this? I cannot. I do not know what is this story. Unfortunately, cannot explain. What are these seven chakras in our body? How they help us? Is it the power of God or God Himself? That we will consider tomorrow when we talk of different forms of yoga. Are there any other questions? Okay, so thank you very much. Today, unfortunately, the notes are not ready because of some things. I will give you 2-3 days notes tomorrow. Kindly pardon me for that. But you will get them. But do study them well. And today I have succeeded in keeping to the time. So you can go home peacefully and have nice early dinner prasadam. Thank you very much. Mahaprasade Govinde, Nama Brahmane Vaishnave, Svalpa Punyamatam Rajan, Vishwaso Naiva Jayate, Sharira Avidyajan, Jadendriya Tahekar, Jive Phele Vishay Sagare, Tara Madhye Jivati, Lobha Maya Sudurmati, Tate Jita Katina Sansare, Krishna Bada Dayamai, Kari Vara Jivajai, Svaprasadana Dilobhai, Shayyannamrita Pao, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gunagao, Premidako Shri Chaitanya Nitai, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nittai Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nittai Bol, Hari Bol.
Welcome to the fifth day of our seven-day Bhagavad Gita course. The subject today is different forms of yoga. But before we discuss that subject, we would like to talk about one point that was brought up by somebody after the class regarding the law of karma. Then we will go ahead to whatever questions you may have regarding yesterday's talk. The point came up about the cancellation of good and bad karma. It was mentioned in the class that generally speaking, good and bad karma, they do not cancel each other out. If you do a good karma, you have to enjoy the fruits of that. And if you do bad karma, then you have to suffer the fruits of that. However, there is a system in the Vedic scriptures, in the system of prayaschit, atonement. It is part of the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. We are going to talk about what Karma Kanda means a little bit today. So according to the system of prayaschitta, for every sin that you commit, there is a certain prescribed method of atonement to mitigate that sin. It is said that no one can live without sinning, not a single person, because even if you don't commit sin knowingly, unknowingly you will definitely commit so many sins. For example, as we mentioned earlier, even when we breathe, we commit sin. In the scriptures it is said that there are several kinds of sins that are committed every day by all human beings. We scratch our body, we rub our body, we boil water, we sweep the floor, we pour water from one vessel into another vessel, we grind things. In all these activities, as ordinary as they may seem to be, there is killing involved. Some germs somewhere are being killed. So therefore the Shastras are advocating a system of atonement to counter the effects of these sins. So therefore one should perform such atonement to get rid of the sin, but such a process is very temporary. Only temporarily you get rid of the effect of that sin. But because we commit much larger sins, not just the sins committed involuntarily by breathing and so on, it is futile to undergo such a system of prayaschitta, because the propensity or the tendency to commit sin remains strong in the heart. So it is just like people go to church on Saturday or Sunday, confess before the Father, "Father, please forgive me, I have sinned," and they go back next week and commit sin, come back again on Sunday, "Father, forgive me, I have sinned." So there is no point. Such prayaschit is compared to the bathing of an elephant. If you have ever observed an elephant taking bath, then you will notice that after the elephant has taken a nice bath, scrubbing itself with nice shower from its trunk, it comes out, immediately rolls in the mud. So what was the point of the bath? So similarly, when you commit sinful activities by habit or out of ignorance, then we perform some actions for prayaschit to counter that sin, and then after that again we commit sin. So what is the value? What is the point? It is like lighting a fire for cooking, again putting water, lighting it, again pouring water. So you are not getting anywhere. You are not making any progress in your life. You are only temporarily saving yourself from the sinful reactions for some time. So therefore prayaschit is not very recommended for devotees. For those who really want to understand and achieve the perfection of life, one should take to bhakti. Because when one does bhakti, then not only do the sins get destroyed, as we saw earlier, that the cutting of the hand would be reduced to a small cut on the finger, but more importantly, the very propensity or the tendency to commit sin is itself destroyed. So bhakti is the only permanent solution. All others, even the system of prayaschit as it is there in the Vedas, is simply a temporary relieving measure. So therefore one should not consider the system of prayaschit as being a kind of a loophole for us to continue committing sin. And there is some system available. So I will sin, I will wash off the sin, I will sin, I will wash off the sin. No. That keeps us bound to the cycle of birth and death. We will be eternally washing our sins, committing and washing our sins. But the idea or purpose of human life is to permanently be free from sin. Not to find a temporary washing measure or temporary detergent. So bhakti or the holy name is a permanent detergent. It cleans the heart in such a way that it can never get dirty again. This is bhakti. So therefore good and bad karma generally do not cancel each other out. But there is a system of prayaschit by which you can do that. But that is not recommended for those who are really serious in spiritual life. So I hope that answers the point of good and bad karma cancelling out. There is one question. If you have other questions, you may also please write on slips of paper, or you may also ask me orally. Why is Lord Krishna or Vishnu's color bluish? Well, there is no reason for that. It is like that. There is no saying why. Because Krishna likes it, so it's like that. He has made his own color like that. Now who can question God as to why you prefer Pitambar, the yellow colored dhoti, why you don't wear red? He likes it. He is a person. Just like somebody, like you like orange juice, I ask you, why do you like orange juice, not mango juice? You say, well, I like it. I like orange juice because I like it. So Krishna likes that color. God is also a person. God is an individual like all of us. He has also his own preferences. Although, because he is on the absolute platform, his preferences are all same. His choices are all good. So this is the answer. Are there any other questions that you may like to ask, particularly with reference to yesterday's discussion, or if there is anything left over from the previous days which you are still not clear about?
Spiritually performs by activities which he is unable to avoid, and what he should do? He is unable to avoid it.
It depends on the extent of inability to avoid. It depends. Many times we say we can't avoid it. But if you really work at it, if you really examine the situation, and if you are determined, where there is a will, there is a way. Maybe there are many things we can avoid if we really tried, if we really knew how. But that requires knowledge. It requires association. So therefore, much of what we think cannot be avoided can be avoided. For example, initially many people say, I cannot avoid meat. But gradually they avoid. An alcoholic comes here and says, I cannot avoid liquor. But it takes to the path of bhakti, and then avoiding liquor becomes easy. And there are many things, even before we start bhakti, there are things we can avoid if we really look into it. But still, if there are certain things that you cannot avoid at any cost, then at least we should live our life in such a way that our life is surrendered to Lord Krishna, so that any sin that may come about by such activities will be absorbed by Him. That is His promise. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. My dear Arjuna, abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sin, do not fear. So Lord Krishna says He will protect us from sin. But under what condition? That we should surrender to Him. Utterly. Mam ekam sharanam. So if we utterly surrender to Him, which means we follow His instructions very, very sincerely under proper guidance, and then if there is something that is truly unavoidable, and we do that, then Lord Krishna says, I will protect you. Don't worry. That is the situation. At the same time, we should try to see that we do not do prohibited activities. Yes.
Family. Resorting to akarma with an intention to attain spiritual unification with God, can we call it as nishkam karma?
We will come to the question of the different forms of yoga now. That is the subject of today's discussion. So we will be discussing nishkam karma yoga also. So when we come to that, maybe this question will get answered. And if there is still any doubt at the end of the lecture, we can address that issue. If Lord Krishna is the doer and we are not the doer, then why is it that an individual is more inclined towards rajasic and tamasic activities rather than sattvic? Whether one is inclined towards sattvic, rajasic or tamasic activities, or whether one's inclinations are beyond these three modes towards bhakti, all these inclinations are the inclinations of the soul, of the jiva. These things are taking place according to the desire of the individual. But what is Lord Krishna's role? Why do we say that He is the doer? Because without His sanction, we cannot do anything. I cannot lift my finger unless the Paramatma within permits. The Paramatma has to instruct the material energy. You move in this fashion. And then the finger will move. So therefore, Lord Krishna is a sanctioner. He is a permitter. And He is a doer. Because He accomplishes physically the act. But He will perform that act, or He will instruct His material energy to act in a certain way, depending on our inclinations. So therefore, the responsibility for actions lies with us, not with God. So if somebody argues, if God is the doer and I commit a murder, then God is responsible. Fine. If somebody has that logic, even that is fine. But then when he earns a lakh of rupees, that should also be God's. Not that only the crime I commit is God's and the lakh rupees that I get is mine. No. If someone is really on that platform, then it is fine. There have been exceptional rare souls whom we should never try to imitate. They were pure devotees of the Lord, but they did thievery, dacoity and killing for God's sake. Not killing, but at least they did dacoity. There are cases like that, where somebody wanted to build a temple, part of the Sri Sampradaya. He was one of the 12 Alvars, very famous. And he led a gang of dacoits for the sake of getting money to build a temple. Not that we should follow this example, but we should follow the example of his devotion. So even that ultimately is sanctioned by the Lord. So Lord Krishna is not responsible for our desires. He will only fulfill our desires. We have the freedom to desire anything we like. There is no limit. I may desire to have 10 crore rupees, 100 crore rupees, 1000 million crore rupees. There is no limit. We can desire anything we like. But even to get one paisa, I need Krishna's sanction. So desiring is limitless. But actually getting even a fraction of that, that depends on His will. So therefore He is not responsible, we are responsible, even though He is the doer. Somebody had a question at the back. Yes, please.
And spirituality,
bath in the Ganges is also purifying, but it also depends on what, how one approaches it. If one is approaching a bath in the Ganges in elephant consciousness, that means I will take bath, purify myself of all the sins, then come back, sin, next year again go to Ganga, and Kumbh Mela has just got over, so it is a golden opportunity for all those with this idea, because here this Kumbh Mela could have washed so many sins. So therefore, this mentality is not good. That I will purify myself, come back. This was exactly what Ganga Devi was fearing.
And she did not.
Then I will be unable to bear the burden of that sin. So then Bhagirath Maharaj was very clever. So he said, don't worry. There are so many great saintly persons who are devotees of the Lord. Simply by looking at such devotees, one gets purified. So when such devotees bathe in your waters, they will nullify all the sins that have been dumped in your waters by the sinful people. So therefore, the great devotees of the Lord are so pure that they can purify even Ganga's waters. So bhakti is more powerful than such acts of purification. Although, activities like bathing in the Ganga are helpful and recommended for devotees because they assist us in the growth of our bhakti. But devoid of bhakti, simply activities like this become rituals which may lead to a mentality like this, like the bathing of the elephant. Similarly with all these other activities which are ritualistic in nature, that becomes part of what we call karmakanda. So religion must not become an activity simply for increasing our sense gratification or worldly pleasures. Religion should lead us to renunciation and higher still to bhakti. So if you bathe in the Ganga thinking like this, that Ganga Devi is Lord Krishna's devotee, and by bathing in her I can actually get purified so I can serve Lord Krishna better, then such bathing is recommended. It is good. Well, actually speaking, Satyanarayan Katha as such is not mentioned anywhere in the scripture. It is some tradition that has emerged, I do not know when. But there is no mention in the scripture about the Satyanarayan Katha. So actually, people do it because it is just there. People are doing. It's a pratha, it's a tradition. But still that is done for a fruitive mentality. It is done for the sake of washing sins, so that we can sin more again. So that we can enjoy life and enjoy worldly pleasures. So such ritualistic activities are also not recommended. They do not fall in the category of bhakti. Bhakti is pure and unmotivated, uninterrupted. It is not done for any material purpose. Any other question?
Pray to God and other may be or may not be rituals also. Including there will be involvement of bhakti, there will be love towards God. But still we are not able to come out of the bondage. We are getting involved and going completely inside towards the bondage. Why is it so? Aren't we able to come out of it? And what are the reasons?
To be able to come out of bondage, one requires proper guidance. Who can free one from bondage? One who is freed from bondage only can do that. Who can free the fly caught in the spider's web? Only somebody from outside the web. So similarly, only someone who is free from the modes of material nature, who is free from bondage, can also free us. When the fly struggles more and more in the spider's web, what happens? Its bondage increases. It actually, the web ties it more and more, the more it struggles. This is the wonderful design and intelligence of the spider, given by Lord Krishna to him, of course. So, he designs it in such a way that every time the fly struggles to get out, he becomes more and more wrapped up in the web. So similarly, the more we struggle in this world against the laws of material nature, to reduce our distress and to increase our happiness, the more we are actually getting bound in the world, round and round. Why is that so? Because we are struggling without knowing how to struggle. We do not have the proper knowledge, the proper guidance to know exactly what should be the way we should get free from bondage. So when we come under proper guidance, then we will be able to do our bhakti properly, and then slowly as the time goes by, we will see that the bondage is reducing. The second point to note is that freedom from bondage, practically speaking, cannot come immediately. It has taken millions of lives for us to get bound. And habits are very old. Old habits die hard, there is a saying. So therefore it takes many, many lifetimes to come to this point of becoming free. So therefore, the fact that all of you are assembled here, you are coming every day to listen to Bhagavad Gita with faith and eagerness, means that all of you have been doing this for many lifetimes before. And now you have come to this point where you really want to take it up seriously. Maybe it was seriously done in previous life, maybe it wasn't. But you have come to this point now in this life only because of the backing you had, the background of this Sukriti, of doing devotional service knowingly or unknowingly in the past. So the process of getting freed from bondage is a very long one. It takes many lifetimes. So we should not be impatient that we expect results immediately. Even to get cured from an ordinary disease takes a long time, even if you take the medicine properly. And if you don't take the medicine properly, then naturally the cure will take that much longer. So similarly, even after we have obtained the proper cure, the proper guidance, if you do not take the medicine properly, if you do not follow the guidelines of spiritual life properly, then the bondage will remain. So according to how sincerely and under the proper guidance that we do our spiritual activities, the results of the freedom from bondage will come accordingly. So, thank you very much for your nice questions. So, in the spiritual world, there is nothing material. Only spiritual things are there. Has God made any customs like the thread ceremony as shown in the Vaman Avatar? Yes, these are called samskaras. Upanayan samskar is for the dvija, twice born. So, these samskaras are meant for purification. So when we perform these sanskars, then material desires vanish and one travels further on the path of spiritual life. Why is Vaman Dev an incarnation of the Lord wearing a sacred thread? He doesn't need it. Because he is living in the society of human beings on the earth. So he acts like the others. Just like Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, they came, they also got married, they also ate, they also slept. God doesn't need to eat, he doesn't need to sleep. But because they were living in the society where this was normal, so they followed the customs and traditions. Just like when Bill Clinton comes here, he will also wear kurta. So he follows the tradition of this land. So when Krishna comes to the material world or Ram comes to the material world, they also behave like other normal human beings. We saw a picture of Garuda when I didn't follow. Maybe were snakes surrounded with hands surrounded by snakes, whereas we heard that Garuda kills snakes. Please explain. But when they take shelter of the Lord, then he does not kill, because he is a devotee of the Lord. So Garuda is a Vaishnava, but because he is in that body, so he is allowed to eat meat. So we cannot do that, because we are in human body. If I have no activity in this world except to chant and please God, why am I created in the first place? That we discussed yesterday, that we exist eternally in the spiritual world, and we have come here out of a rebellious tendency to be independent of God, to enjoy independently of God. So therefore, Lord Krishna has given us forgetfulness, because we have desired that forgetfulness. And now we have to revive our lost memory of God. So bhakti is simply that. Bhakti means, spiritual life means to wake up the sleeping soul. That is what we are doing. This whole process is simply a waking up process. When you are sleeping, you can be woken up either by sound or by light. If somebody makes a loud sound, you wake up. Or when it is dark, if somebody switches on the light, you wake up. So similarly, for the soul to wake up, you need sound, which is spiritual sound, the name of God, and you need light, which is spiritual knowledge, the torchlight of Bhagavad Gita. So when we get both these, then the soul can wake up to its original position. If God's or Krishna's senses, like eyes and nose, cannot be differentiated, that is, the eyes can work as the nose and vice versa, then being his parts and parcel, then that particular atom should also do the same work. But we can't do it. Why? Because this is the material body. But your spiritual body can do that, not the material body. The material body is simply a perverted reflection of the spiritual body. So Lord Krishna can do that because he is fully spiritual. So the Satchidananda Vigraha, the soul, also has such a capacity, but in very tiny detail. How many forms or expansions are there between Lord Sri Krishna and Lord Sri Mahavishnu? There are many. But I don't want to go into the details because it will become too technical. But there are, briefly speaking, first form of Lord Krishna is Balaram. From Balaram, then comes four expansions called Vasudev, Sankarshan. From Sankarshan comes Narayan. From Narayan again comes this Chaturvyuha. Then Sankarshan of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then comes Mahavishnu. So this is all this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Attraction to Krishna is very powerful. There is obstruction to join such a movement from family members and friends. What should one do in one situation? One should pray to Lord Krishna that those who are opposing us, that their mind should also be changed. And if their mind is still not being changed, then one should not stop bhakti. One should continue bhakti without trying to disturb the situation anywhere. Otherwise I will be in trouble. The family members come here and start quarreling. So, bhakti cannot be stopped. Bhakti is eternal function of the soul. So Narad Muni has answered this question in Srimad Bhagavatam. If people are going to tell you, oh, what is this nonsense you are doing, bhakti, bhakti, Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Ram, what is this? Be successful, earn money, enjoy life. Do something in life and show. So what should you say? Yes, 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 yes. But do the bhakti. Every time they say, you should not chant, it is not good. Yes, yes, I will stop chanting. But you continue chanting. So quarrel, at the same time, you do what you are supposed to do. So eventually, if you pray hard enough, maybe those who are, their hearts may change. Why God is changed? He could have done it only in one yuga. Then why all these changes in time? Because time in the material world is degradation. Everything goes down in time. Nothing goes higher. If something was higher, then God has to change, to destroy everything. Because spiritual world is permanent and here things are temporary. If you want to be permanent, then you have to go to spiritual world. This material world is designed to be temporary. So if you come here, then you have to be under the power of Kala Shakti. In what way? Reiki, self-healing treatment, the part of God. I do not know much about Reiki, so I cannot comment much. But ultimately, I do not know whether these are really authorized processes. And they are not there in our Shastra, so I don't feel the need for such things. But nevertheless, if something is useful, we may use, but we are not attached to these things. If we use it, it is there, fine. If it is not there, fine. We are concerned with our process of spiritual life. I did not follow. It is heard that there are seven faces of one human. No, this idea is, I don't know in what context this is asked, but there are three bodies, if that is what you mean. You have the gross body, you have the subtle body, and there is a spiritual body. During rebirth, does the male take rebirth as male only? What other things along with the soul are transmigrated? Not necessary. A male can become female, female can become male. A male who is very much attached to a female, at the end of his life he will think of a female and become a female. A female who is very much attached to a male, at the time of death she thinks of a male, she will become a male. What you think of at the time of death, that is what you attain. If you think of a deer, you will become a deer. If you think of an animal, you become an animal. If you think of God, you will go back to God. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajat tante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever your state of consciousness at the time of death, that state you will attain without fail, my dear Arjuna. Antakale cha mameva smaran mukva kalevaram yah prayati samad bhavam yati nasyatra samshayaha. Antakale, at the time of death, if you think of me, mam eva smaran, if you think of me, then you will come back to me. That is my promise to you, dear Arjuna. So we should attempt to think of Lord Krishna at the time of death, but in order to do that, we have to practice throughout our life. There is a true story that a man lost in an island in some part of this world many years back, and as he was wandering, a spark of light, he saw many people rejoicing and voices, and he went near it. There was nothing but skulls. Could you please explain this? I cannot. I do not know what is this story. Unfortunately, cannot explain. What are these seven chakras in our body? How they help us? Is it the power of God or God Himself? That we will consider tomorrow when we talk of different forms of yoga. Are there any other questions? Okay, so thank you very much. Today unfortunately the notes are not ready because of some things. I will give you 2-3 days notes tomorrow. Kindly pardon me for that. But you will get them. But do study them well. And today I have succeeded in keeping to the time. So you can go home peacefully and have nice early dinner prasadam. Thank you very much.
Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmane Vaishnave Svalpa Punyam Tam Rajan Vishwaso Naiva Jayate Sharira Avidya Jan Jadendriya Tahe Kal Jive Phele Vishay Sagare Tara Madhya Jivati Lobhamaya Sudurmati Tate Jita Katina Sansare Krishna Bada Dayamaya. करुणा रज भजाए स्वप्रसाद नंद लोभाए शैयन्नामृत पाओ श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गुण गाओ प्रेमी डाको श्री चैतन्य निताय जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Oh,